Even as much hyped IPOs like Lyft and Uber head south, there's one name that's been keeping the IPO buzz alive. Shares of Beyond Meat are up 250% since they went public 3 weeks ago. The stock surge is changing the conversation around IPOs, from tech-heavy things like autonomous driving and artificial intelligence to concepts like pea protein and beet blood. I'm Alex Yule. Welcome to The Readback. Today, I'm rejoined by Barron's Associate Editor Jack Howe, who talks to me about his recent experiment with these meat alternatives. Hey, Jack.
Hello.
Why am I suddenly hearing so much about alternative meat?
It's really because it's gotten much better. I describe the veggie burgers that we know from years ago as sat-on falafels, which is what I think they kind of look and feel and taste like.
I like falafel. I just want to throw it out there.
You like sat-on ones?
I mean, a veggie burger with falafel is fine.
Yeah. No, veggie burger's fine, but it doesn't taste like burger. It tastes
Fair enough. Tastes
like something else. So what's exciting about these companies is that they have created meat alternatives that really look much more and feel much more and taste much more like beef. There's this company, Beyond Meat, which had an IPO recently.
Plant-based meat company Beyond Meat impressed investors with the hottest IPO of 2019 so far.
And it's been a spectacular success. The stock shot higher more than 150% on its first day. We haven't really seen IPOs do that well lately.
Right. That's been a pretty unusual thing to have the 100%+ first day return.
Yeah. So they make a burger where they get the protein from peas and the juiciness. And when I say juicy, I mean like so that it mimics meat. So they get that from beets. So peas and beets. And there's another company out there.
A meatless company. Impossible Foods. They brought in $300 million. They've got a total now of $750 million.
Seems like a more complicated method. This is the burger I tasted. They're getting the protein from soy and potatoes, and they're using coconut and sunflower oils. And then they have this substance they call heme. They say it's found in plants and animals, and they describe it as the thing that makes meat taste like meat. So they've developed a way to make this heme from plants to give their burgers their juiciness. Impossible is not public yet, but they just had a round of financing that valued the company at $2 billion. Beyond Meat is valued at about $5 billion. And you know they have big name investors. Bill Gates owns a piece of each. They have big partnerships with restaurant chains that we all know. TGI Fridays and Carl's Jr., they're partnered with Beyond Meat. And Red Robin and Burger King, they're partnered with Impossible Foods.
And you can buy these things at the grocery store, too, and make them yourself, I think. Is that?
Yeah, they sell products in grocery stores. You can make them yourself. But I'm way too lazy for that. I let the good folks at Red Robin take care of it for me.
And we've talked about, we talk about lunch sometimes. And I happen to know you are a carnivore. So as someone who has enjoyed kind of traditional meat over the years, give us your review.
Yeah, I got to say, these fake burgers taste an awful lot like meat. It was a convincing look. I tasted this Impossible Burger at Red Robin. And the big tell is the underbun, right? Because on a beef burger, you get kind of a saturated underbun. It's not soggy, but you've got the grease coming down into the underbun. And I mean that in a praising way.
Okay.
With an Impossible Burger, you get a springy underbun because you don't have that grease coming off the thing. But the patty itself is juicy. And when you taste it in the sandwich, it tastes nice. The way Red Robin's prepared it, it tastes like meat. Everyone that I went there with thought the same thing about it. So I think for vegans, they've got something to be excited about here. And there's even possibility that you could lure, you know, some meat eaters too. And I think that has investors excited because only 3% of Americans call themselves vegans, but there are a lot of people out there who, you know, maybe for other reasons, maybe they're concerned about the environment and they think plant-based foods are better for the environment than meat. And so maybe they're looking to reduce their meat. Maybe they're not strict vegans, but they're looking to cut back a little bit and make some different choices. Or maybe people are, you know, have feelings about the treatment of animals. They want to cut down on the meat. You know, they're not militant about it, but they're saying, hey, if I can cut in half the amount of meat I eat and see some different alternatives, I'll do that. So it's got people thinking there might be a big market for these types of players.
So maybe if you have like three burgers a week, now you're going to eat two burgers a week and one alternative meat burger a week. That's how the math works maybe down the road?
Yeah, or just if you taste one of these Impossible Burgers and you feel like you could go either way between this thing and beef, you say, hey, I might as well. Next time I go out to Burger King, I'm going to get the Impossible Whopper because I like it just as much as the regular Whopper.
Right. And I guess over the years, like these fast food places have added salads, they've added chicken sandwiches, and they've done well with it, right? So maybe there's no reason to think that something similar can't happen with the veggie burger.
Yeah, when you look at what's doing well in the restaurant business right now, which kinds of chains are doing well, they're the kinds of chains that are paying attention to health-conscious consumers, people who they want not only healthier foods, but they want to pay more attention to where the foods are sourced from and how they're prepared and so on and so forth.
So if these things are so good, like you say, I mean, how much worry is there among the so-called big beef of the world?
Yeah, so this is, to me, more the investment implication is Beyond Meat is now valued at $5 billion, and it's a company that is expected to maybe do $200 million revenue this year. So that's, you know, price to sales ratio 25 times. That's exorbitant. I don't see a lot of opportunity for buying shares of these alternative meat companies because the one that's publicly traded is so expensive and Impossible Foods doesn't want to go public right away. It's already valued a couple billion dollars among private investors. But investors ought to think, if these things become popular, what happens to companies that sell real meat? We've had several years now where these companies have done quite well, and the reason is because there's been a shift in consumption. People want to eat more protein, and they want to cut down on carbohydrate, and that has helped shares of companies like Tyson and Sanderson and Pilgrim's Pride and Hormel. I don't really see these new alternative meats as a threat to these companies because they've got this tailwind of people wanting more protein. I think people want more protein of all kinds.
Right.
So they might be more inclined to buy Impossible Burgers, but they're still going to buy chicken and beef and pork.
If you're Beyond Meat now, what are you thinking about competition? What are you thinking about these traditional players? Are they just going to sort of watch as alternative meats rise and they're going to keep doing their thing? Or should we expect to see some shift from the traditional meat makers?
I think we're already seeing that. Tyson, which is one of the biggest meat companies, was an early investor in Beyond Meat, and they sold during this buying frenzy. And they've said they want to go it their own way and develop their own plant-based meat alternative. And if you think about it, in a recent conference, the chief executive was saying, we have big advantages. I mean, we already have a sales network. We have relationships with grocery stores. We have fleets of refrigerated trucks, all of these things that if you're a startup, you have to put these things together from scratch. If you're Tyson, you've already got them. What you have to do is get some people together in your test kitchens and your labs and come up to speed on making the burgers. Arguably, that part is easier than building an entire company and distribution network. So I think Tyson, they say they are going into this in a meaningful way, there's every possibility that they could become a strong competitor here.
And you kind of have the shelf space already, so maybe you take away 5% of your existing shelf space and you put the alternative meat there, and just like that, you've got yourself a market.
Yeah, and if you're Tyson, you can do this as a hedge, right?
Right.
So their chief thinks this could become a billion-dollar business, you know, in years to come. And if that happens, okay, you're making money on it. But if it doesn't, it's because the thing never really took off, which is good for your existing business.
So listeners out there who are hearing you rave about the burger itself, you're not quite as excited about the opportunity in the stock.
Yeah, I mean, I got emails from people who say, I think what they're doing is great, and I want to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to invest in this company and buy shares. And if you're doing that as kind of a statement, then that's fine. Obviously, you don't make statements with, you know, the core of your investment portfolio.
Right.
You do it with a few bucks on the side. And if doing that makes you happy, fine. I think this stock is too expensive. I could be proven wrong. I've said that before about companies in early stages of growth, and I ended up being proven wrong in some of them. But I think here, the barriers to entering this business are not high enough. There are too many players that want in, including some bigger, better financed companies. And I think that the shares are quite expensive.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
To read Jack Howe's Streetwise column on Beyond Meat, check out this week's edition of Barron's. And as always, Barron's.com. I'm Alex Yule. The show is produced by Meta Looksoft. The Readback returns next Wednesday.